Good morning, everyone. Everybody smile for me. Keep a smile on your face. Well, my name is Willis. A lot of people have the last name Willis. My first name is Willis. I'm actually a junior. My dad was Willis Owsley Sr. And back in the late 70s, early 80s, there was this television show on TV. It's called Different Strokes. Does anybody remember that? And there was this little guy on there named Gary Coleman. And he had this famous saying, didn't he? Yeah, y'all know what it is. I can see you shaking your head right now. So on three, I want you to get it out of your system. All right? And tell me what that statement is. One, two, three.
What you talking about, Willis?
That's right. What you talking about, Willis? I actually have a T-shirt that says, I'm what Willis was talking about. That's right. Life is a journey, isn't it? Life is a long journey, it seems like sometimes. But really, when we look at it through eternity, life is a very short journey here on earth. When we look at eternity and the whole realm of what God sees, this life that we spend on here on earth, 70, 80, 90, for some even maybe 100 or over years, we think that's a long time, and it's really short. But for people to get from that early age all the way up to the late 80s, 90s, even into their hundreds, they have to remain healthy, don't they? And what happens is when you have a healthy life, there's always change that's going to take place. So you always start, you grow when you're healthy. My mom and dad didn't have to stand over me and say, now grow, I want you to grow. It's time for you to grow. As long as they kept me healthy, they took me to the doctor when I was sick, they fed me, made sure that I stayed clean, I grew because I was healthy. And when I'm healthy, I grow, and when I grow, I start to change. I still don't wear the same clothes I wore back when I was in fifth and sixth grade. None of us do. So there's always change that's going to be taking place. So if you're healthy, you're going to grow, and if you grow, you're automatically going to change. Things are going to change in your life. The same is true with your spiritual life. If you have a healthy spiritual life, you're going to grow. And when you grow in that spiritual life, you are going to change. We were just talking before the service at the back that a lot of people, one of the worst things that can happen in a Christian's life is they get comfortable. I'm comfortable like things are. Don't mess with them. Don't leave them. Don't mess with them. Don't do anything with them. I'm comfortable. I like it like it is. Don't stir the pot. But then you're not growing. And you're not changing because you've become comfortable in your spiritual life. So if you have a healthy spiritual life, you'll grow. And when you're growing in your spiritual life, there's going to be a constant change that takes place in your spiritual life. Because we're all on a journey. We're on a journey to become more like Christ each and every day. And I looked around the room. I actually looked in the mirror this morning. I'm not there yet. Are you? None of us have become exactly like Christ. We're still growing. We're still changing to be more like Him. And so a big part of having a mature Christian life is I want to live my life the way Christ lived His life. We have an example after example in God's Word that we can find how that Christ lived His life so that we can live our lives the same way. I haven't arrived yet, and I know that you haven't arrived yet. So I believe there are some daily steps that we need to take so that we can live the life of a Christ follower. Now, I think if I could circle the word daily, I would in your mind, because it needs to happen daily. I heard one pastor put it this way. God's not interested in dating you on the weekends. He wants a full relationship with you. He doesn't want to pick you up on Sunday morning, drop you off on Sunday afternoon and say, I had a great time. See you next Sunday. He wants to see you every day of your week. He wants to see you every moment of your day. God wants to be a part of every part of your life. The thing is, I think that in some Christians' life, though, there's things that they don't want God to be a part of. And so they put him off to the side. They put him on the shelf. But God wants to be a part of every moment of every day of your life. And so the life of a Christ follower is a journey. There's an interesting book out by Darren Ride. It's called The DNA of a Christ Follower. And he put these 8 essential traits, or these qualities, or these characteristics, that's the DNA of a Christ follower. I thought they were very interesting. Number one is that we are a lover of God. That with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, and with all my strength, I am going to love God. I love Him above everything else and above everyone else. Not only are we a lover of God, but we are a lover of people. We see people the way that God sees people, not the way that the world sees people. So you're a lover of God, you're a lover of people, you're holy. You know, God really wants you to live a holy, set-apart life. Set apart for God's use so that He can use you in any way that He sees fit. The next one is that we're truth-based. Now, today, in our society, it's you believe what you want to believe and I'll believe what I want to believe and we'll just kind of all come together and be happy. But there are things that are truth. There are things that are black and white. There's things that are gray. They'll always have those gray areas. But there are things that are true and things that are false. And the world has kind of muddled that together and kind of muddied the waters where that we can't really see what is true, what is false. But if we live the life that God wants us to live as a Christ follower, we're going to live truth-based. Not my opinion, not my preference, not my tradition, not even self-based. It's what does God's Word say? That settles it. A lot of people don't like to follow that guideline. The next one is that we are evangelistic. We need to lead people constantly into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. Healthy, growing, changing. The next one is perseverance. That we go even when times get difficult. Anybody have difficult times? Boy, everybody does, don't they? And at those times, we decide, I'm going to continue on. I'm not going to stop. I'm not going to throw it in the park. I'm not going to put on the brakes. I'm going to persevere through all these things that God has for me. The next one is God-dependent. Stop depending on yourself. Stop depending on your friends, on your spouse, on your kids, on your family. Stop depending on those to get you through this life. Be God-dependent, fully relying on His strength and His wisdom, His direction, and His power. And then the last one is that we're focused on eternity. We get so focused on today or tomorrow or next week or what's going on right now. We need to look way down the road and focus on eternity. That God has plans that we're not even aware of yet. We just have to stay on the path. We have to have that daily walk with Christ so that we can be a Christ follower. The verse is on the screen. Psalms 37, verse 23. The steps of a good man are directed by the Lord, and He delights in each step that they take. He likes you to take that step. He doesn't like you to stop. He doesn't like you to quit. He likes you to continue to take the steps. So, let me read you our main scripture today. It's found in Philippians chapter 4. It's verses 4 through 9. It's on the screen if you want to open up your Bible. Either way, you can follow along with us. Philippians chapter 4, 4 through 9. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is lovely, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard of me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. The steps, the daily steps of a Christ follower. Let me give you step number one. The first thing you need to do, if you are going to be a Christ follower, if you're going to daily decide, I'm going to live a healthy life, I'm going to grow, and I'm going to constantly change to be more like Christ, the first thing you need to do is that you need to focus on God instead of your circumstances. Focus on God instead of your circumstances. Our first part of Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. Let me say it again. I want you to rejoice. We've got to focus on God instead of your situations. He's not saying that we should be happy when our bad situations come. Nobody's happy when a bad situation or when circumstances aren't what we're really wanting. Nobody's happy about that. He's not even saying to rejoice in our difficulties. He's saying rejoice in the Lord. Not in our circumstances, not in our difficulties. I want you to rejoice in the Lord. And that's something altogether different than what a lot of people read out of this verse. Biblical joy is the knowledge that God is in control of your circumstances and that He is going to allow only what is good for you to happen in your life. If we really believe that God is good and all He wants for us is good, then we will rejoice in the Lord, even when the circumstances aren't favorable. Because everybody is going to have their ups and their downs, and their hard times, and their difficult times, and the times when we say, it's time to quit. Boy, it's just been a rough week. It's been a rough day. It's been a rough hour. At those times, focus on God, not on your situation. Look at Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And we know that all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. And that's why James had to say this. Consider it joy when a trial comes your way. Look at James 1:2. It's on the screen again. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Now, he wasn't saying rejoice in the trial. Just get all excited and have a good old time because a trial has come your way. That's not what he's saying. It's what God is doing for us through the trial. His good work is coming into our life. God is doing something in our life that really only can happen because of that trial. And that's why James can say, consider it pure joy whenever you face trials of many kinds. So in essence, if we're to say, what's my first step? It's really just to worship God. Worship God and look for God in everything. Can I say it that way? Look for God in everything that you do. Everything that comes your way, everything that happens in your life or doesn't happen. We say, well, there's bad things that happen. Sometimes there's bad things that don't, there's good things that don't happen. And we have to say, okay, what happens? Just focus on Jesus. Focus on Him. I told this story just a few weeks ago when I was over in Georgia. I carry my notes. They're kind of right like that. I usually keep them something like that. And one Sunday I got up when I was in North Carolina speaking, and I had my notes, and I went off to the side and was talking, and I went like this, and I thought, I can't see them words. So I kind of put it out a little bit further like that. And I still couldn't see the words. So I had to extend my arm about as far as I could just to read the words on that piece of paper. I got this idea. I thought, well, I'll just increase the font. Well, then you got 4 pages of notes turn into 8, 9 pages of notes, and you're losing all your notes. And then I went to the doctor, and he said, I know what you need. You need these right here. Wow, and I put those on. Now I can see my notes and everything's a lot clearer. I can focus. And if I'm going to continue in my walk as a Christ follower, And I'm going to be healthy and I'm going to grow and I'm going to constantly change to be more like Him. I have to focus. I have to focus on God. I don't have to focus on myself and on my situations. So from our focus on God, the next step we have to take is we have to literally engage in serving other people. We have to literally engage in serving others. The next part of Philippians that we read says this in verse 5. Let your gentleness be evident to all. Can you say all?
All.
Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. As you rejoice in God, you focus on Him, you take that step. I'm not going to look at my situations and my trials, but I'm going to rejoice in the Lord. And all I'm going to say it again, I'm going to constantly rejoice in the Lord. Then you need to move to focusing on other people. Let your gentleness, your kindness, your patience, and your heart be known to other people. And how can you do that? Oh, there's several ways. Look for ways to encourage other people. Look for ways to lift them up. Look for ways to make people happy. Some call it an act of kindness. Maybe you've heard pay it forward. You ever heard of that statement where you pay it forward? You might pay for the person behind you in the drive-through line, pay for their meal, or pay for their coffee if you're through the Starbucks line and say, I'm gonna take care of the person. Look for ways to encourage people. Look for ways to lift them up. Look for ways to literally serve other people. You're focusing on God, but now you're looking for ways to serve other people. It's not that God just wants us to serve other people. It's that He knows our weakness. And our tendency is to focus back on ourselves, to look on the things that we need and the things that we don't have and the things that would help lift us up. But if we focus on others, we'll be distracted from our own problems, from our own situations. And more than that, we'll derive a certain kind of joy. You ever done something for somebody that you knew you would not get anything back? Isn't it a great joy just to do something for somebody just because? An example. Last week I found this old push lawnmower. And I have a friend of mine that he kind of tinkers on those things. He fixes them up. He's about, I think he's in his 80s now. His name's Buck. And Buck will fix up old lawnmower, push lawnmowers, and then he'll put them out in front of his house and sell them just to make a little bit extra money. Well, I found this old lawnmower, and so I took it to him, and I said, I think we can fix this thing. Maybe you can sell it and make you a little money. And so we were tinkering around on that, and the guy's incredible when it comes to mowers, how he takes everything apart and knows how to put it back together. While we were sitting there, a car pulled up, and there were husband and wife. And he wasn't able to get out of the car. She said he'd just had hip surgery. They were probably both in their late 60s, maybe early 70s. And so she said, how much for the push mower? He made, and she said, well, I'll be back. I want to buy that. We've got to mow our yard. So they went, and they got some money, and he came back and gave him money. And so they had this little car, and I said, well, would you like somebody to bring it to your house? And she said, that'd be great if you could. And so we put it in the back of my pickup truck, and they lived just about a mile down the road. We went down there, and we took off the mower. Their grass was about this high. Hadn't been mowed in a while. He had had his hip surgery, wasn't able to get out. He was on a walker. So he started a push mower, and he pushed it a little bit. Well, he didn't make one strip, and it was clogged up. Mower, because of the grass was so high. Well, we left it with him, got in the truck, and went back and started working a little bit more on that little mower that I found. I was sitting there. I said, Buck, you know what I'm going to do tomorrow? I'm going to go mow those people's yard for them. I've got this big old commercial lawnmower. I said, I'll mow at least one time and get it down where then she can push it and not be such a struggle. So the next morning I got up and I loaded my mower on my trailer. I drove over there and I got off and I knocked on the door several times. I thought, well, I don't want to do this and them not want me to do it. I want to make sure they're okay with that. So I never could get anybody to come to the door. So I got out my weed eater and I started weed eating around the house and getting all that. Finally, she came outside and she said, he said he thought he heard somebody weed eating out here. And I said, yes, ma'am. I said, I just want to mow this for you. And she said, well, you don't have to do that at all. I said, no, I just want to show some kindness to you today, and I want to mow your yard for you. And so She said, that would be fantastic if you could do that. I said, yes, ma'am, I'd love to. And it took me twice mowing everything to get the grass to where it looked a lot better. Didn't expect anything in return. Didn't want anything in return. Just wanted to do something kind for somebody. Now, that was a little bit of a bigger task, but I'm saying you can look for small ways to do something for somebody. I was at Burger King eating my Whopper one day, and an old couple walked in, and he went over to the booth and sat down, and she went through the line, got her food, and she went up, and they had those pump ketchup. And she tried to pump that ketchup out, and it wouldn't come out of that little and go in that little cup, so she finally just gave up and went and sat down. And I was sitting there eating my hamburger, and I thought, well, let's get up and get them some ketchup. Now, did the news channels show up? You know, man gives ketchup to young old couple? No, they didn't show up. It wasn't in the papers at all. And it wasn't that big of a deal. But it was a little blessing to those folks. And I went over and I just pumped about. And it was hard to get that ketchup out of there. I took about three or four over to them and set them on the table. I said, here, I thought you might like some ketchup. There are thousands of ways that you can be a blessing to someone. That you can just do something just because God told us to. And just so that we can get the focus off of our trials and our situations and our problems. We focus on God, and when we focus on God, God wants us to focus on people. See, it's all about Jesus, and Jesus is all about people. So if we continue to focus on Jesus, we're going to see situations that we can be a blessing to someone. So if we focus on God, we begin serving other people. The next step we have to take is on the screen. We give our troubles to God through prayer. Now, I want you to make sure you get this. We don't just tell God our problems and our troubles. We give them to Him. Big difference. Actually, huge difference. I can sit here and tell you all my problems all day. You can tell me all your problems all day. But it's a whole lot different thing to say, here's my problems. Will you take them? Will you take care of them? Will you fix them? Verse 6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. Now I hear some of you already in your mind. You know I do that. I've tried that. I pray over and over and again, but I still don't get any peace. Well, can I suggest to you that maybe you need to realize you're praying the wrong way? Maybe you're not praying the right way. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 7 and 8 says this, and when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans or non-Christians, for they think that they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. We often worry, I'm not saying the right thing. I'm not mentioning every problem, so he probably missed that one. Or we're not praying with the right attitude, or that God just doesn't hear my prayers. Don't just pray about problems. I think we get ourselves in a situation a lot of times, we just throw all our problems on God, and that's where we stop. Can I just look at the last part? He knows what you need before you even ask Him. Can I suggest part of your prayer time, maybe a majority of your prayer time, is that you just thank God and worship God for who He is. God, you're an awesome God. God, you're an incredible God. God, I love you more than I love life itself. Thank you for coming and giving your life for me. And God says, I know your problems. You don't have to tell me your problems. Share them with me if you want. But don't just make all your prayer time, God, here's my problems. Amen. Take care of them. God wants to take care of your problems. God wants you to give you His problems. Your problems. But He wants to hear you worship Him also. Don't just pray all your problems. Spend some time praying telling God just how great He is. And what happens when we pray and we leave our burdens before God? Philippians 4, verse 7. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. He's telling us to focus on Him. By focusing on Him, we see the needs of other people around us. We think about Him. We pray to Him. We think about Him some more. But it's not enough just to pray. We need to take the next step. So we have focused on God. We have decided that we're going to look at Him instead of our circumstances. We're going to, by that, focus on other people around us, serving them. And then we're going to take all of our needs and we're going to give them to God. All of our troubles. And once we do that, Paul says we need to force ourselves to think about the things of God and not ourselves and our situations. We have to force ourselves to think about the things of God. Remember, it's all about Jesus, but Jesus is all about people. Philippians 4 and verse 8. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, and whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. See, the more you meditate on the things of God, the more you'll know God and His ways. You'll know that He is indeed working these things out for the good in your life. I love this verse in Psalms chapter 84 and verse 11. It says, the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and He will give glory. And no good thing will He withhold from those who walk uprightly. No good thing will He withhold from you when you are taking the steps to be a Christ follower. If I'm focusing on God, if I'm looking at the needs of other people, if I'm giving my problems to God and praising Him for who He is, if I'm constantly forcing myself, I am going to focus on God. I am going to make sure that I keep doing the things that God has told me to do. No good thing will He withhold from me. But there's one more thing. You've moved your focus from situations to God. You begin to look for ways to serve other people. You decide to give all your problems and wants and desires and needs to Him. And Paul says, now to make sure you keep doing that. Keep doing the things that God has told you to do. Verse 9 of Philippians chapter 4. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice. And the God of peace will be with you. If you do what God is teaching you to do, you will have peace. And don't overlook this distinction. We looked back in verse 7 where it says, if you have the peace of God will guard your heart. Whole different peace here. This says the peace of God will be with you. God will walk with you every single step of your way. If you decide, I'm going to continue to put it into practice. And putting it into practice is just not every Sunday, just not every couple days of the week. Putting it into practice every single day of your life. Every morning when you wake up, I'm going to focus on God. Every morning when you leave the house, I'm going to look for ways to meet the needs of other people around me. I'm going to be looking for ways that I can be a blessing to other people. Every time something happens in your life, it's a bad situation, it's a problem, it's a situation that you aren't, give it to God. There it is, God, it's yours. You can have it. And we're going to think on the things of God. I'm just going to constantly be in focus with what God is doing in my life. See, God has a plan for you. Even before you were born, God had a plan for you. And here's the thing. You've got a journey to walk. A journey to run. I've got a journey to run. And I can't run my journey. I can't run your journey for you. And you can't run your journey for me. Each of us have to decide, I'm going to do what God has for me to do. So every morning when you wake up, I'm going to focus on God. I'm going to look for the needs of other people and the way I can meet those. Let me say this along with that. Don't think that you have to meet all the needs. Okay? I think sometimes we get in this point of, man, I just can't do it all. Nowhere do I find in here that God says you have to do it all. I do find out that He wants you to do for the ones that you meet. Let me say it this way. Do for one what you wish you could do for everyone. Look for that one person that you can help. And you know what happens? That one person turns and does it for somebody else. And that person turns and does it. And pretty soon, everybody's helping everybody else. Which is what God wants us to do. And when we do that, Psalms 84:11. No good thing will He withhold from those who walk upright. Really want to live the life of a Christ follower? It's going to take some steps. You can't stop. You have to continue to take steps. It's putting your focus on God. It's serving other people. It's giving your troubles back to God. And it's continually thinking on the things that God wants us to think on. The things that are pure. The things that are true, noble, right, lovely, admirable. Think about those things. And God's going to never withhold anything from you that's good. You walk with Him, He walks with you. That's how you get peace and continue on the journey as a Christ follower. So let me ask you, how's your walk? How's your walk today? Focus on God. Serve other people. Give your troubles to God. And think on the things that God wants you to think on. And practice these steps daily. Will you bow with me in prayer? Our Heavenly Father, thank You that Your Word is so clear and precise in how we can live a victorious Christian life. And it's simply by taking the steps that You've laid out in Your Word, that we will live a life that desires to be healthy, that is growing, and is constantly changing to be more like You. So God, I pray if there's someone here today that just needs to start taking those steps again, would You help them to take that first step? Be right there with them. Give them the peace that they need to continue on. But then again, there could be someone here today that has never taken that first step. The step of trusting You as their personal Savior. And if there's one here today who has never turned their life and their heart over to You, may they not wait another second but do that today. And we pray this in Your name. Amen. Would you stand with us with your heads up bowed and eyes closed? We sing our hymn of invitation, Just As I Am.